Well, Chief, first of all, it's nice to finally get a chance to meet you. We're here in San Antonio at the annual meeting of the National Association of Conservation Districts, where you have a chance to rub elbows with folks that deal with conservation on a daily basis. Are they informing you of some of the issues going on around the country?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I'm very excited to be able to represent my agency, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, here, and to reaffirm the partnership we share with conservation districts across the country and other conservation partners, both in government and in the private sector. I'm hearing on a regular basis from producers the value of this and the assistance that not just my agency provides, but the overall partnership provides. And, of course, there's some very specific needs right now, particularly with the continued onset of this drought that people are experiencing across the country. But then even outside areas of the drought, you know, whether you're in the Chesapeake Bay when you're very concerned about water quality, or you're in the Florida regions, the northern Everglades, and people are very concerned about land loss and the conversion of the Everglades regions, yes, I'm hearing a lot from stakeholders across the spectrum here across the country on the importance of our investments.
So you were able to visit with the folks here. You have a couple of opportunities, I guess, to visit and talk with the NACD folks about that partnership. Let's talk more about it and what the value is and what you see it meaning the most to you in Washington.
So the value of the partnership is that it's grounded at the local level. And I really believe in this not being a top-down federal answer to everything. This is actually landowners working in partnership with conservation professionals, so whether they're soil and water conservation districts or state conservation agencies or with folks who work for NRCS. It's us working hand-in-hand, and it's not our solutions to an individual farmer or rancher's concerns. It's a farmer or rancher identifying what their business needs are, and then we have tools and we have professionals that can help them achieve their agricultural objectives that also have resource benefits. And so it's really important on an annual basis that we come to a meeting such as this to reaffirm the importance of that partnership. And then it's from the federal level, the additional assistance we can provide in working hand in hand with our state and local water conservation district partners and our national partnerships, both in the agricultural community and in the conservation community, together making the shared investments that are providing agronomic benefits. We can grow more fruit and fiber, but then also have more abundant wildlife, cleaner water, cleaner air.
Let me ask, how do you view your position as chief of NRCS?
First and foremost, to be an advocate for the conservation movement. This is something that is, in some respects, is very daunting for me to be coming into this new position. I know I'm following in the footsteps of giants. An author today visited with us, Mr. Timothy Egan, who's the author of The Worst Hard Times, and he talked very passionately about Hugh Bennett, who is the progenitor, the father of the Soil Erosion Service, which became the Soil Conservation Service. So it's very humbling for me to be following in those footsteps. But at the end of the day, I view my job is to be, as best I can, an advocate for the importance of conservation, and of course for the agency I work for. But it's not about NRCS. It's really about the value of voluntary incentive-based conservation. That, I view day in and day out, is to be the best possible advocate for that, be able to articulate the shared vision and the shared needs for these investments.
So what's the challenge coming into the agency as chief without a farm bill in place? Does that add some additional challenges?
Well, I don't know if the challenges. It definitely creates a little bit of uncertainty. So Congress did provide us with, at least for this year, some certainty, I guess, about what our portfolio of conservation programs are. And so we have very important tools and some pretty significant resources in our tool chest through an array of Farm Bill conservation programs. But for planning purposes, it is a little bit challenging not to know what's going to happen next fall when, you know, a lot of our programs, again, sunset. And instead of being able to plan over multiple years kind of where we want to position our employees and our programs and what our needs are, thinking out a year or two, we're more sort of caught in the cycle, as many people are right now, kind of more focused on the near term.
So for folks here at this NACD annual meeting in San Antonio, the conservation folks across this country, what can they be doing to help you and conservation in general the best?
So it's not about helping me. It's about helping conservation. And no one needs to worry about me. But what folks really need to be able to do is, first and foremost, have a very clear message on the value of conservation and why this is not just good for water and wildlife and air quality, really why conservation is important for rural economies, for farmers and ranchers, to make them economically sustainable so they're successful over the long term, so they can pay their mortgages, they can send their kids to college, they can enjoy the fruits of their labor. That is really, to me, what's really valuable and important about conservation. But it's making sure people are getting the message out to key decision makers and stakeholders, whether it's at the county level or what's in their state house or their congressional representatives are familiar with the value of conservation, not just the federal investments, but really the state and local investments in conservation, and how this is an alternative to a regulatory approach, but it's a voluntary incentive-based approach, we feel is the answer. And it's government working hand-in-hand with a private landowner, with that farmer or rancher, has proven so successful over the last 75 years. It's taking that message forward and making sure the broader stakeholders and decision makers know the value of it.
But there are still people around the country that question that that investment in conservation programs.
For those uninformed, I've heard them sometimes talked about a subsidy or just a handout, which to me is offensive. I don't see these as subsidies or handouts. Not at all. I think these are shared investments where it's helping, again, those business owners, those farmers and ranchers be successful. The best thing for America to be able to either feed itself or to grow, fiber and fuel is to make sure these landowners are economically successful. But because it's a shared public investment here, that then there are benefits for folks living downstream or living in the airshed or living in the surrounding communities. And it's not just environmental benefits, they're actually economic benefits. So, for example, we've done some studies. For every dollar we've invested in Florida, for example, in the Northern Everglades, to help ensure there's a ranching landscape there, that we have ranchers still ranching and being successful. But by the way, we also can provide some benefits for the Everglades in terms of restored wetlands. Every dollar we invest has a $4 return to the local economy. So it's not just about investments on an individual farm or ranch, that these economic investments then ripple out into the local community and the state and the economy. So that's how I guess it would answer to the charge that these are just subsidies or handouts.
Chief, is there anything else that you'd like to add when it comes to conservation or the conservation partnership?
So I guess in closing, I'm very optimistic about the future of our shared conservation investments. I know at the federal level, certainly, we're experiencing some budgetary tough times right now, but I know also our brother and sister agencies at the state and local levels also are having similar budgetary challenges. But if you take the long view, there's still immense resources, both in terms of staff expertise, conservation professionals in the field, but we also have some pretty significant investments at the state level, in the private nonprofit community, and also in the federal level to make shared investments with landowners. And so together, I think we're still going to have a very bright future in helping to conserve our natural resources.
Chief, I again appreciate you taking some time away from your schedule here in San Antonio to visit with us. Best of luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.